Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg. And I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the Hosted Shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the Register to be a Guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there is information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. Again, that email address is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. Again, that number to call or to text is 281-785-0660. If you want to call into the show with a question or brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363 and press option 1 to connect with the producer. Again, that number to call with a question or brief comment is 347-989-1363. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg, at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can also tweet me at Alan Simberg at Alan Simberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that has a farm in Wisconsin where they grow organic vegetables and produce whole food supplements. Whole food supplements are different from the usual supplements that are sold in health food stores. The big difference is that the supplements that you will purchase in health food stores are primarily composed of synthetic chemicals. Whole food supplements are primarily composed of whole foods. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the whole foods that are in the standard process products are all grown on their farm in Wisconsin, and it's organically grown vegetables. The advantage to using whole food supplements over synthetic supplements is really quite simple. And basically, the advantage is the whole food supplements have all the nutrients, known and unknown, that are specific to each food that our body needs. So we don't really know all the nutrients that we need to either attain good health or maintain good health. So we let nature fill in the blanks that we don't have. And just by eating whole healthy foods, vegetables, salads, these are the things that provide us with the nutrients that are essential to us. Now, one of the things that I wanted to mention before I introduce my first guest is I wanted to talk a little bit today about the mass shooting that took place on May 23rd at Isla Vista, at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Now, of course, the shooting didn't actually occur at the college, but it occurred in the general vicinity. And basically, the person who committed all those murders and shot all those people was a 22-year-old individual whose name was Elliot Roger. Now, one of the things that I want to mention is that my main purpose in talking about this today is to help people to become aware of what to look for in people that may be danger signals, things that they could be alert to that could allow them to become aware that, you know what, maybe this is not the best person in the world to really hang around. Now, one of the things I really want to caution all of you about is that the thing to look for is not an isolated tendency. Like, for example, you see someone behaving in a certain way. It's really not recommended, and it's really not a good idea to generalize it just because someone behaves a certain way that you can tag them with a diagnosis. Now, what I mean by that specifically is that really in order for a person to, let's say, qualify for a diagnosis, they really have to have a pattern of behaviors that exist over a certain period of time. However, it can be helpful if you're able to understand what some of these behaviors are, what to look for. It can really help you, unfortunately, in this day and age, we all do need the help, in terms of knowing when we might possibly be putting ourselves in harm's way. Now, another reason why I'm mentioning this is because I am quite sure that there are many college students today that are quite concerned about their own safety, and I think that by talking about this, it can help them to know what to look for and to be able to become aware of situations where they might need to be extra cautious. So to put it quite simply, and to look at this from a more traditional point of view, what we can say about Elliot Rodger, and this is also based on some of the communications he made via YouTube. He posted several videos on YouTube where he expressed loneliness and frustration about women not wanting him, and he also posted obvious expressions of his own anger. Basically, my take on all this is that if he were to have a diagnosis, it would probably be narcissistic personality disorder. Now, some of the characteristics of this disorder is that the person has a self-image of power and perfection. So, in other words, they have an extraordinary need to see themselves as being overly powerful and perfect. So they have an excessive preoccupation with personal power. They also tend to focus on the need to be superior to everyone else and have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. They also tend to see themselves much more adequate, as being more adequate than is really what's possible as human beings. They have a strong need to be seen in a very positive light, and they are really unable to see the damage that they cause. And I'm not talking about the obvious damage. I'm talking about the way they treat people, and actually maybe a more accurate term would be the way they mistreat people. They're not able to see the damage they cause to themselves and others. They have trouble handling anything that may be perceived as criticism. They believe they are better than others, crave and demand praise and admiration, and are obvious about their need to manipulate a situation. So everything always has to be their way. They have to be in control. Now, here is a very important and interesting aspect of this personality disorder. Underlying all of this, these individuals really have fragile feelings of self-worth that are accompanied by a sense of shame and humiliation. They actually feel better when they react with rage or contempt and when they belittle others. And really, the underlying motivation for this, and this is not something that they're particularly conscious of, this is really something that just drives their behavior and drives their thinking. But they do this to make themselves feel better. Because as I just mentioned, the more powerful they feel, the more superior they feel, the more in control they feel, the better they feel. But here's the catch. Because they suffer from such fragile feelings of self-worth, they're really not better. They're not able to feel better. They're not able to establish a positive self-image. So they get into this cycle of looking to see all the situations that they need to make themselves feel better. And again, this is not conscious, but what they're actually doing by belittling and having these rageful episodes is they're showing their frustration with themselves, but they're taking it out on others. So I hope this information will prove helpful to many people. And if anyone has any questions or comments they would like to make about anything that I've just said, please feel free to either call or text me. And you can call during the show or during the week, and certainly text me during the week. And again, that number to call is 281-785-0660. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my first guest.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg. And my first guest today is Phyllis Gambone. Phyllis is a holistic practitioner and certified health coach and nutritionist. She educates people about how to heal the body, prevent and survive all types of disease, and have a zest for life. And now let's learn more about Phyllis. Hello, Phyllis, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Allen. How are you? Thank you for allowing me to be a guest today.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you as a guest on this show. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Okay, I grew up in the Norristown area. I was born and raised there. And my life experience is really came from my children. I have four daughters. All were very sick. The first three were very sick, and I learned to heal their bodies the holistic way, feeding them proper diet, proper nutrition, trying to, you know, keep the sweets away from them, not a lot of dairy, no sodas. They basically drank a lot of water, and They ate proper food. They ate good food. They didn't eat junk food. They didn't eat fast food. And, you know, when you have sick children, you have to learn different alternatives.
Did you find it difficult? Because, you know, as we all know, children tend to be heavily influenced by their peers. Did you find that it was kind of difficult for them to, like, eat differently when they were with all their friends?
They did. I mean, but they did very well, because I think when my children were growing up, Dr. Allen, it was a lot different than it is today. There's, you know, a lot of fast foods. You know, both parents are working. It's harder to cook meals. So it was different then than it is now. A lot of us grew our own gardens and had more fresh vegetables, home-cooked meals, where today you're not getting the home-cooked meals like you used to because no one had the time to do it. So the fast food convenience store locations are just, you know, it's just an easier way to feed their children.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's why, you know, so many of our children are getting sick because they're not getting the proper diet and proper nutrition that they need. They don't eat vegetables. They don't eat fruits. They drink sodas and Gatorade and, you know, all the different sugar juices, which, you know, is just really, it's really just not healthy.
And what is your understanding of illness and disease? Like, why do you think so many people seem to be having so many more health struggles today?
I think basically it is our foods. Our foods are depleted. Our soil has been depleted since 1936. So our foods are very depleted. We're not getting the proper nutrition from our foods today that we used to get years ago. So you need other supplementation to heal the body. Our immune systems are so depleted, and that's why everyone's getting sick. You know, and kids and families send their kids to school, and they're all sick. Where, you know, years ago you weren't allowed to go to school if you were. Today, everybody's sick, and the immune system just gets so worn down and so depleted from not eating proper, not getting proper nutrition. I see these kids going to school with 24 ounces of coffee and smoking on their way into school, and you know, that is not a healthy body.
So it sounds like what you're saying is by eating some of the foods that are available for people to eat, and of course at this point we're talking about children, that the absence of adequate nutrition causes the body to become weaker and more prone to getting ill.
Absolutely, absolutely, because the immune system is so depleted. And that's why a lot of the disease out there, it all comes from autoimmune. And if that immune system's depleted, you're just going to pick up whatever comes down the road. So you have to try and keep that body properly nourished.
So when a parent brings a child to you, and, you know, kind of gives you some symptoms and says, listen, can you help us? What do you generally do in the beginning? Like, what's your initial conversation like? And also, you know, please include, like, how you talk about food, because I think one of the things that you probably need to take into account is that you have certain beliefs that are not typical of the general population, although it's certainly growing more and more. And ways that you talk to the parent that might make it more likely that they would be open to your ideas and suggestions.
What I do when I first meet with someone, Dr. Ellen, I ask them a little bit about their lifestyle and, you know, what actually is going on in their household, their daily activities. Do they get enough exercise? What do they eat? When do they eat? How much do they eat? Because our portion control today is so out of control, you know, people think that they have to load up their plate, and the more they eat, the more nutrients they're getting, which is not true. So I want to know all about that family and what goes on in their daily lives. So then that gives me an idea of where I have to go and how I have to help that family, and I try and teach and educate them. Because a lot of times people will say to me, oh, we eat good, we eat proper, we eat the right foods. And they might think that they're eating the right foods, but in general, they're really not. I mean, I look in some of their refrigerators and I see all this whole milk and I see all this white bread and I see processed foods and, you know, chicken nuggets and that to them, that's healthy. But, you know, people really have to learn and be educated on what proper nutrition is. And people are now becoming a little bit more aware, but the education aspect out there, really, we really have to integrate that more into our lifestyles.
Now, I think we're going to have a question pretty soon from a caller named Joanne.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if maybe she'll be online. Hello, Joanne?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, this is Dr. Allen. I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask you a question.
Yes, Phyllis, I was listening to you. I have a question about the immune system. What could someone do if their immune system was compromised? What would you suggest for them to be able to make their immune system better? What could they do to make it work better?
Well, Joanne, what they really have to do is they really have to look at their diet and what they're eating and what they're putting into their body. Definitely, sugar is definitely a deterrent. That is going to break that immune system down even more. So they really have to have a general idea of what they're doing and what they're aware of. And you really have to build that body up to where it needs to be brought back up to. And just eat a much healthier lifestyle. And there are, you know, there are different alternatives out there. You can get an immune supplement to help. But then again, with a supplement, you have to make sure that you are getting a proper supplement. You don't want to get something that's synthetic and processed. You want to get something that's pure.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And Joanne?
Yes?
Oh, I just want to add one more thing to what Phyllis said. You speak to different practitioners and you can get like different perspectives, and I'm not contradicting or arguing with anything that Phyllis said, but I just want to add something to it. One of the things I think would also make a lot of sense would be to pay attention to the gut. There's a little bit of controversy about the exact number, but it's our 75% to 80% of your immune system is located in your gut.
Right.
So let's say, for example, if people have problems with constipation or diarrhea, that can also have an impact on the immune system. So you really have to get digestion the way it needs to be. It's really important to have the gut flora as healthy as possible. So those would be other things that I would add to also pay attention to in terms of managing the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Now, I have another question. I hear what you're saying about the gut, but you know how doctors always, if you have an issue going on, first thing they're going to do is they're going to remove their gallbladder. What's going to happen to your gut when you remove the gallbladder? Does that compromise the digestive tract even more? Or will it interfere at all? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, doctor. They always turn around and they say, oh, just remove that, remove this.
Yeah. Yeah. Phyllis, do you want to hear those?
Yes. Joanne, yes, when you remove that gallbladder, I mean, that's huge. A lot of the bacteria does come from the gut, and you do have to cure that. But when they remove that gallbladder, sometimes I don't think it's necessary. I believe that your body can reheal itself. Unless that gallbladder is completely diseased, I believe the body will reheal itself every 7 years with proper nutrition. And I do agree with Dr. Allen, the gut is a big part of it. But again, it's all bacteria and all that needs to be cleansed out.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, and one of the things I'd just like to add to that is it's my understanding, and I'm not a medical doctor, but it's my understanding that when they do remove the gallbladder, they do leave the bile duct there. So the bile still flows and still helps with getting rid of, the feces and so forth. And it's really important to eat foods and take supplements that help to keep the bile thin so that obviously the gut is not further compromised. And basically, just kind of as a general overall principle, cruciferous vegetables is really the way to go. So things like broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, all those types of things are very, very good for thinning the bile and obviously, it also helps to keep a gallbladder healthy. And what my experience has shown me is that when people are facing surgery or maybe facing surgery about having the gallbladder removed, there are nutritional supplements that can be taken that feed the gallbladder and actually can help prevent it from having to be removed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with that, Dr. Allen. You really do. And, you know, it's greens, greens, green. The more greens, the better it is for your body. And also, a lot of times, people that have their gallbladder removed absolutely need a digestive enzyme to help process that food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that answer your question, Joanne? Well, I think Joanne hung up.
Okay.
So we're sort of coming to the end of the interview. When I say sort of, we have about 5 minutes left. So one of the things that I want to ask you, because I want to get a lot of information in here, you have a lot to offer, is how do you help people to identify any nutritional deficiencies they may have and what they may need to take?
Usually by, there's a couple different ways, Dr. Allen, I do that. When I sit with someone and I look at them and I hear what's going on, I ask them, I go over a total health history with them, and I want to find out all about them and what they're doing, if they're on any medications, any prior history of any health issues that they have had, and also their mental stability and their, you know, and where they are mentally, emotionally. That plays a big role in the overall well-being. So what I do is I do a couple different things. I do that, and then I also have a scan, a complete body scan that I do to detect any deficiencies in their body. And that, a lot of times, I go over everything first, I review everything, and then when I do the scan, it pretty much says the same thing that I had just said. So it makes people even more aware of what I'm saying, and, you know, it just shows them in black and white, this is where you're deficient, this is what's going on with your body. You know, let's heal the body before we get into any kind of trouble. So I like to work with people first that are just really want to heal their body. And like I said, I do work with a lot of people that do have disease, and I, you know, really kind of help them back and nurture them back to.
So when you talk about a scan, is that something that you do, or do you have some sort of machine or whatever that helps you to do that scan?
Yes, I do. It's biocommunication, and it does. It scans through your virtual senses, and it picks up and detects any deficiency in your body. And it's very, very accurate. A doctor did design the scan, and I have found it very, very helpful in my practice to teach people, you know, and show them what's going on and where they're deficient. And, you know, let's work on this now rather than later, because we want to prevent what anything that might be going on in the future.
So whatever it identifies, is it linked to some specific line of supplements, or is it more like what nutrients the person is missing?
It's linked to a line, but it also will tell me what organs are deficient. So what organs we need to work on, whether it's your spine, whether you're out of alignment, you might need to see a chiropractor to bring you back into alignment. Whether your emotional stressors are out of whack and you might just need a massage. So there's a lot of different aspects of the body, and it's really just teaching you and showing you, okay, let's figure out what this body needs. Your body is a team composed of all different components. You know, like I said, mind, body, spirit, emotion. There's a lot of things that take up that component to make your team.
So that does give an awful lot of very helpful information. We're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to pick up from that point when we come back.
Thank you.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg. And one of the things I want to mention is the preceding segment of the show had been brought to you by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that produces whole food supplements, and they have their own farm in Wisconsin where they grow organic vegetables. Before we went to commercial break, I was speaking with Phyllis Gambone, and Phyllis Gambone is a holistic practitioner and certified health coach and nutritionist. And right before we went to commercial break, we were talking about how Phyllis determines what her clients' needs are, what their nutritional needs are when they come to see her. And we were talking about a body scan that she uses that, you know, quite frankly, Phyllis, it sounds quite comprehensive. And one of the things that I really liked about what you said is that you have a basic idea of what a person needs from taking the history and kind of just assessing their overall lifestyle. And although you didn't use these words exactly, but essentially what you said was the body scan confirms what your suspicions are. The body scan does not tell you what to do. And the thing that I really like about that is I think that machines can only go so far in giving us the answers that we look for. And the fact that you're able to determine or at least have a sense of what a person needs and then the body scan confirms it, I think is a real positive reinforcer that really kind of leaves no question about the direction you need to suggest that your clients take. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, you know, just by sitting and talking and getting an idea of what's going on with them, and it might be, you know, just a little thing as, you know, how much water are you drinking a day? Well, I don't drink any water. Okay, well, that's a major problem right there. Your body is composed of 75 to 80% water, so when you're telling me, you know, you're not drinking any water, and it might be that person that drinks, you know, 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day. Well, the caffeine is totally dehydrating your body. So for every cup of coffee that you drink, you should have at least 8 ounces of water that follows that because you're drinking that caffeine, you're dehydrating your body. So you're already starting your day out in dehydration mode. So, you know, and then if you're going to the gym or doing any kind of exercise, you're dehydrating that body even more. And, you know, what I've noticed is a lot of these kids and athletes that are playing sports, you know, you always see these kids out on the sidelines and they're vomiting and people are like, oh, they're just really exhausted. They might be exhausted, but it's complete dehydration. And then what do? Is they turn around and they give these kids a bottle of Gatorade, which is pure sugar, and that's going to bring them into exhaustion mode more. So, you know, you really have to know and measure what's going on, because I would guarantee you, too, before that kid went to that game, that kid probably had a candy bar or a piece of pizza or, you know, something different. But, you know, the body really needs proper nutrition to really go through its day. It's like, you know, it's like taking your car out and guess what? That car is not running without any gas in that tank. So you really have to learn how to fuel your body the proper way.
I have a question that I'd like to ask you, and kind of try to figure something out, although you may already know the answer. Some of the reading I have done recently suggests that water can actually be extremely helpful with helping to manage and to heal several diseases. And again, I didn't read anything about any specific disease, but the gist of the articles are saying that water in and of itself is extremely healing, and just by drinking water, you can add tremendous health benefits. And one of the things that the article suggested, and I'd really like just to get your thoughts on this, is that it's extremely important to drink water in the morning, first thing, on an empty stomach. What are your thoughts about all of this?
Water at the first thing in the morning on an empty stomach with a squeezed lemon in it is absolutely wonderful. What that does is that cleanses the body. So that is absolutely correct. Now, what you have to really watch out for, too, is, again, you have to watch out what kind of water you're drinking, because our water has now become very acidic. So, you know, everybody wants to get the cheapest water out there because of their budget. Doesn't mean that cheap is good. If there's any possible way that they can drink alkaline water, at least 8.8, the better the water is, the better it is for your body. Because when you're drinking all this water, yes, water is good. We need the water to, you know, keep our body sustained. But when you're putting all this acid back into your body, disease lives in an acidic body. And the really good thing, too, Dr. Allen, is you can go to any pharmacy, and they sell these pH strips. And what that will do is that will show you if your body is alkaline or acidic. So that kind of gives you a format to where you're going. If your body is acidic, you're in trouble. You want to alkaline that body, because disease will not live in an alkaline body. Disease will live in an acidic body.
Now, in order to use those pH strips, would you use it on saliva, urine, or both?
There are two different kinds. You can use them either way. When I do my testing, and again, I test everybody that I deal with. I do the saliva, and it just shows you, wow, I'm in trouble. I just had someone the other day, and this was a young guy. He was 25, and he worked out, and I said to him, he was doing this body scan with me, and I said, let's taste, you know, test your pH. So in testing the pH, he came up extremely acidic, and he was drinking a bottle of Gatorade. And I said, did you see the amount of sugar in that bottle of Gatorade? I said, you're drinking 28 grams of sugar, and your body is completely acidic. And I said, you know, do you know the total intake of, you know, of sugar grams a day? And, you know, the normal person doesn't know that. And I said, you're drinking 28 grams of sugar right there. Your total intake for the day is 45. And that includes everything that you're eating takes into account that 45%. He turned around, he looked at me, he's like, wow, now you really have me scared. He got up and he dumped that bottle of Gatorade right out. He said, I just paid $4 for this bottle. He said, but you know what? I have to learn to start getting my body healthy. So, you know, there's just a lot of different little things that you can do to start being aware of what's going on in your body.
Now, when you mentioned alkaline water, how would you tell people to get alkaline? Like, is that something you just buy in the store? Do you treat the water?
You can buy. They do have alkaline water in the stores. Not all the grocery stores carry it, but there are some specialty stores that carry it. I don't know if you have a Wegmans out near you, but Wegmans and there's a couple other stores that carry it. But, you know, look for the alkaline water, because it is definitely going to make you feel better. Sprouts, if you're in Texas anywhere, Sprouts has alkaline water, and it's really not that expensive. And as you start drinking the alkaline water, you're going to taste you'll taste the difference, but your body is going to feel different. Your body's going to feel fuller because you're giving it proper nutrition. You're not giving it dead water. And tap water is the worst. Do not want to drink the tap water anymore. But like I said, the alkaline water, if you can get the alkaline water, and you're going to feel, your body's going to feel different. Your body's going to totally feel different. Your joints aren't going to ache. A lot of people say, you know, oh, I've got joint pain. I've got back pain. A lot of it is dehydration. I can say for myself, I'm not a huge water drinker. I have to make an effort. So what I do in the morning is I line up my bottles of water. This is how many bottles I need to drink today, because if I don't make that effort and that conscious effort, I don't drink it because I'm not a water person. So I always would find myself being dehydrated if I didn't make a conscious effort to drink what I needed to drink.
Yeah, and I think what you just said is the key. When someone's not feeling well, they have a certain pattern of behavior, which in some ways is kind of unconscious. But when you make a conscious effort to make the changes and you also do things like what you said, you put the water out, you put the bottles out, you bring it into your awareness so you get used to seeing it and you get used to integrating it into your lifestyle.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the headaches, when you get a headache, a lot of it is dehydration. I had a friend of mine that her little girl was getting migraine headaches. She started when she's 7 years old. She's now 15. So this child has been getting migraines for all these years. And the first thing I said to this mom was, does she drink any water? And she said, no, she will not drink any water. So, you know, I had said to her, we sat there and I said to her, okay, I'm going to put something in your water, some flavoring in your water. It was, of course, a healthy flavoring. It was a hydration, all natural hydration drink. And that child sat there within 5 minutes, drank 16 ounces of water. And then I gave her another drink, which was an energy drink. So within 20 minutes, that child drank 32 ounces of water and the mother was completely shocked. And, so she kept on this regimen. Two weeks later, she had gotten a migraine, and she was on medication for it. And she would come home from school. She'd be so sick, she'd be down till the next day. The mother said she had a migraine. She hydrated. Within 1 hour, that migraine was gone, and she was out with her friends that night.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, again, just educating people on different things and making them aware of what's going on. And, you know, that's my biggest thing is just trying to educate the general public, let people be more aware of their bodies and what's going on and how to heal, you know, more of a holistic way.
I completely agree. And I also want to mention to you, someone on Facebook made a comment. I'd like to see what you think about it. The person is Lee, and he's from Dallas, and he basically said that when he drinks alkaline water, it doesn't fill him up like regular water. What do you think about that?
Well, that's right, because that's what water does. Water just fills you. It's not actually, it's not that it's a good feeling. It's more bloating, and that's because of the acidity in our water. So when he's drinking that alkaline water, it's not bloating him and making him as acidic. So that he's right on with that.
Okay, so that bloating is what he experiences as being filled up or full, but really it's not such a great thing that he has that.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. That's good for people to know.
Mm-hmm.
Question I have for you, which, boy, I tell you, a lot of people face this. We live in such a fast-paced world. Many people either don't know what to eat or they don't have the time to eat properly. Now, you have talked some about what to eat, but generally, how do you coach them in terms of how to start making the changes? And when people say, listen, you know, I just don't have the time, or you know what, I'm just not hungry, what do you say to someone when they tell you that?
A lot of people don't have the time, and you know what? And I certainly understand that. I'm a single mom, and I have my own practice, and I can really understand. So what I really try and do is, you know what? I take my Sunday, and I make it a household thing for my daughter and I to cook things and prepare things on Sunday that we are going to have for the week. And I do my snack mix, and I do my, you know, my oatmeal muffins and just healthier choices that I make. And, you know, it's just, and more fruits and vegetables, apple with peanut butter, carrot sticks. And if you know you're really that conscious of what's going on in your body, just delete one bad thing from your diet and start from there. So if, you know, if you're a white bread, if you love white bread, take away the white bread. Take away little things at a time so you don't feel like you're so deprived, but let's make lifestyle changes. Let's make healthier changes. But, you know, try and get in as many fruits and vegetables as you can. And, you know, my daughter definitely, I have a 17-year-old daughter, and, you know, I come from an Italian family. We love to eat. But, you know, we've learned to, okay, we're not going to eat that piece of cake. We're going to have strawberries and blueberries with a little bit of Cool Whip on it, a tablespoon of Cool Whip, or some honey or a guava or, you know, something, just healthier choices. And, you know, it's amazing how much better your body is going to feel when you introduce it to different good things.
You know, it sounds like from what you just said that you do your very best to take the difficulties and the challenges that people may have in changing into account when you give your advice, and by kind of moving more slowly and say, you know what, just take one thing out, put this other thing in, you're also giving them the opportunity to experience the change, so it might help to motivate them to continue and make even more changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can't make a drastic change in a day. You know, it's been going on for how long? You can't do it all of a sudden. So do it gradually, one thing at a time. I tell them it's baby steps. You take one step at a time to change your lifestyle. And, you know, for these younger parents, it's what you teach your child, you know, at an early age, you know, what to eat. I remember when I had my children and they were younger, my children ate what I cooked. I cooked a healthy meal, and everyone ate it. It wasn't like, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. This is what we're having. This is what you have to try. And, you know, I would say try it. You don't know if you're going to not like it until you try it. You know, I see these parents, okay, well, they're going to cook one thing for themselves, and it might be healthy, but then they're going to let their child eat a hot dog or peanut butter and jelly or a macaroni and cheese. Crazy. You're feeding yourself properly, but you're giving that child nothing. And it just really drives me crazy when they do that. And I'm thinking that little body needs proper nutrients. And what you're teaching that child now is what that child's going to learn throughout her life. And, you know, the obesity factor, you know, eating that mac and cheese and eating that peanut butter and jelly, I mean, it's okay as a treat once in a while, but not daily. You've got to change one thing at a time. And your children are going to do what you give them. They're going to eat what you give them. You're going to give them junk, that's what they're going to eat. That's what their bodies are going to be accustomed to. And then they get, you know, they get that sweet. They want the sweet. And, of course, something else is not going to taste good because it's not sweet. You know, once you acquire that sugar in your body, that's what it wants. And it's amazing. Once you get off of that sugar and then you start eating something sweet again, it's like, oh, it doesn't taste good. It's way too sweet. I was a big, big sugar addict. I mean, I love sugar. But you know what? I've been off of it. And then when I eat it, it's like, oh, that is way too sweet. That's like sugar shock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. You know, if you start eating a certain way at a younger age, it becomes part of you. It's your norm. And, you know, the other thing that you mentioned about, you know, how do you know you don't like it? Try it.
Mm,
I think that's
right.
A great idea. And, you know, the other thing, too, is sometimes parents get stuck in these power struggles where, like, the child has to eat just that thing. Well, what about the child tries it, they don't like it. Maybe there's something else that's just as healthy. It doesn't have to be exactly that vegetable. Maybe there's a certain vegetable a child likes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's true. Say, you know, if that child, if you're eating something and that child doesn't want that, you know, rather than give them junk or macaroni and cheese, I'd rather give them an apple with peanut butter. Give them something healthier. I mean, I know, and I always revert back to my own life experiences. My little granddaughter is 6, and I would see the way that, you know, what she wants to eat, because her little friends eat, they eat all this junk. And my daughter is very, very healthy. And she says, well, she won't eat it, Mom. So they've incorporated just try it. So they just tried a turkey burger. Guess what? Now she loves turkey burgers. Now let's try some chicken. Let's try it. If you don't like it, that's okay, but let's try it. So that's a new phrase that, you know, has come into her, you know, into her family dinner. Let's try it. So, you know, once they try it, that's more than half of the battle.
Yeah. And then, of course, you're teaching the child how to be a different kind of parent from the so-called norm.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, we've come to the end of the interview, but I do not want to end, number one. However, I'll also say I don't want to end before I give you an opportunity. If there's anything else that you would like the listening audience to know, and also to let them know your contact information.
Okay, great. They can contact me at PhyllisGambone@yahoo.com. You know, that would be the best way. That's my email address. Or Facebook, they can, you know, look me up on Facebook, Phyllis E. Gambone. That's, you know, a couple major ways to, you know, to find me.
Okay. And is there any last thought that you would like to leave the listening audience with?
Just be healthy and live vibrant.
That's a great last thought. Something to keep in mind. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today, Phyllis. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
You're welcome, Dr. Allen. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Allen Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Allen at allensimberg.com. Let Dr. Allen Simberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Hello, everyone. everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My guest today was Phyllis Gambone. Phyllis is a holistic practitioner and certified health coach and nutritionist. And for anyone who has any interest in nutrition at all, if you missed any part of this interview, I'd like to invite you to listen to the archived version of the interview, which will be available right after the conclusion of this broadcast. Phyllis spoke about many interesting things. She spoke about the importance of water. She spoke about how understanding someone's lifestyle can help you to know the things that you need to change in order to have better nutrition. She talked about some of the things that contribute to poor health, which one of them she mentioned was how our food is depleted of nutrients that they used to have, or at least to the same degree, the same quantity of nutrients, and also how the soil was depleted. So, of course, that would also contribute to the nutrient deficiency. And she also talked about the importance of educating our children and guiding our children to eat in a healthy way so that they can have a very healthy lifestyle and have a minimal problem with disease and illness. We also had a caller come in talking about a question about her health. We talked about gallbladder health. We talked about several things. Again, any of you that are interested in learning more about nutrition and health and also about what Phyllis does, I invite you to listen to the archive broadcast, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. Before ending today's show, I want to talk about my life-changing insight tip of the week. And one of the things that I want to bring to your attention is that there are five things, and again, I'm not saying these are the only five things, but I want to bring to your attention five things that can adversely affect your health. And they are chemical toxicity, heavy metal toxicity, immune system challenges, which is one of the things we did talk about today on the show, poor digestion, which is another thing we talked about on the show, and going along with poor digestion is food sensitivities. If you have a food sensitivity, that can definitely have an effect on your digestion. And a simple example of that is wheat and gluten. Wheat and gluten is something that more people are sensitive to today than what they realize. You don't have to have celiac disease to have a wheat or gluten sensitivity. And another thing is scars. Surgical scars, scars from injuries. Basically and briefly, I will explain that because some people might be thinking, scars, how can that affect your health? Well, your skin is the highway for chemical messages. The chemical messages are communicated across your skin. When you have a scar, those chemical messages, or at least some of them, build up in that scar tissue, in the scar tissue area. And then they just disperse erratically, and the body doesn't know how to interpret them, how to respond to them. So it's really important to know how to heal those scars, putting a certain kind of oil on those scars, one oil, but you have to really get a high-quality oil, and I'm not going to recommend you just go to any store and get wheat germ oil. But wheat germ oil is one thing, and a very high-quality coconut oil is another. I recommend the coconut oils that are organic, cold-pressed, and extra virgin. I want to thank all of you for listening in today, and I will invite you all back to listen to next week's show, Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock. Have a wonderful afternoon and a really great week, everyone. Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us on Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.